Hello and welcome to the Castle Fate podcast. I'm here again with Adam and Ian. Hello.
Hello.
Hello there.
And we're going to be talking about Juice again, part two of Juice. So I think there's plenty we didn't cover in the first one. So where should we start? What do we go through? Just to kind of summarize in case anyone hasn't listened to the first part.
So in the first podcast, we talked about what is in an e-liquid. Didn't we? We spoke about the vegetable glycerin, we spoke about the propylene glycol, we talked about how the flavours are suspended, and we did a little bit on how I would mix a juice together. Mm-hmm. We haven't really touched on the nicotine aspect of it.
No,
so
no.
We could possibly go head on into that if you'd like.
I think it's probably a good place to go, because it seems pretty complicated. It's probably much more simple than I think, but like my first impressions are that it's like, well, I just don't get it.
Right. So basically, with most people that are mixing liquids right now, they 9 times out of 10 have access to liquid in a PG base or a 50-50 base mix of PG and VG, or just a VG heavy, 100% VG mix. And depending on where you buy it from and where you are on the planet, depends on how strong it's going to be. So it might be 20 milligrams, it could be 18 milligrams, it could be 50 milligrams, 52, 72. It all depends on where you are in the world and what you have access to, I believe. Mm-hmm. Now, the nicotine that I get access to is 72 milligram. Okay. So it's very, very strong, okay? So the most important thing to remember is with any type of work with nicotine, you have to wear protection. There's no ifs or buts about it. Gloves, disposable CSI gloves, brilliant.
Yeah. You've got to bag up. You've got to bag literally, up for the nicotine.
You've got to make sure you have long sleeves on, okay? Mm-hmm. And also protect yourself. I mean, you can go all whole hog and get like a mask, or you can get a, you don't, it's not that the fumes aren't going to hurt you, but it's just to protect yourself. The more protection you wear, the better. You can wear goggles, because nicotine in the eye, let's be honest, it's not going to help.
No.
Okay. It doesn't fix anything. It just hurts. Now, the thing with nicotine is if it is in that type of strength and you do get any on you, or you taste it, like I've done and Adam's done several times, you will notice your tongue goes numb. And I would suggest you drink a lot of milk or a lot of water. And if you get any on your skin, wash it immediately. Don't panic, because you're not going to die instantly, okay? But if you do get nicotine on you, I would suggest that you go immediately to the sink and wash the hell out of your hands or your arms, whatever you've got it in contact with, wash it to death. Because it's very much like mercury. It will go through your skin. Mm-hmm. It will seep into your skin, and then you could get palpitations, you could have a heart attack. You know, this is deadly stuff.
I mean, how long have you got, like, before it's sort of, dangerous? Like, how long have you got to wash it off, basically, in that kind of situation?
Well, I would say I wouldn't wait around at all. Mm. I would, you know, it's an immediate thing you need to do.
Yeah.
You know, if you're making up e-liquids, make sure you have access to some form of sink or shower, something where you know, if something happens, then you've got access to water to rinse it off and have it flowing. You can't just put it in a bath, you know. I mean, it would probably work, but I would rather have running cold water on my skin to get rid of any of the nicotine that's on there. The time scales would depend entirely on how much you have attached or how much you've spilt on yourself.
It's
nowhere near as dangerous when it spills on your skin. If you imagine, you know, if you rub deep heat or another type of liniment, we've all done it. You know that you've got just for the heat aspect, it still takes a few seconds for it to actually be absorbed fully, which is different from a liniment. It's about 10 to 14 seconds with an average person's skin. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're covered in hair, you'll have less. So I'm lucky. Ian's lucky. You know,
I'm moderately lucky.
You're moderately lucky. I look more like a doormat. But it's still something. It's vital. Even better than washing it off, make sure you're covered up. You don't do it in a t-shirt. You know, like Ian said, you ideally want to be covered in protective equipment. Yeah. And whenever either of us deal with nicotine in a bulk way, we're always very careful to be covered in a, for to have no skin apart from our face. And you don't want nicotine near your face anyway, so you're fine.
Yeah. It's the golden rule is just make sure that you take your precautions. If you drive a race car, you wear a crash helmet. You know, it's that simple. Just have the precautions set up in place. Now, if you're using it with 20 milligram nicotine, it's nowhere near as dangerous. You know, it's not going to cause you any harm or death unless you're a child. But it's still just precautionary. It's like, for the sake of the cost of a packet of disposable gloves, it's not worth chancing it. You know, you're saving 15 pence.
Yeah.
You know, and not even that. So get some disposable gloves, get long sleeves on, wear an apron, you know, just be careful with it. And then the way that it works is very simple. It's just maths, okay? Or math, okay?
Maths. We're not American.
It's exactly the same as if you were to make a glass of squash. So you'd pour some concentrate, and then you'd some concentrated orange, and you'd pour the water in, and it would dilute. And depending on how much of the concentrate you put in there, depends on how strong it's going to be. Mm-hmm. It's exactly the same method. The only difference is you got to measure it. So there's about 500 different types of calculators online, and that's where I would suggest you go, just to get it exact. Instead of just guessing, or my mate said, put this much in, it's fine. That's not good, all right? At the end of the day, there are some very simple calculations that you need to make depending on the strength of the nicotine and how much you're making up. So I know off the top of my head, if I was making up 100 ml of juice and I'm using 72 milligrams of nicotine-based solution, I would only add 4 ml of that nicotine base to the juice to make it up to the 100 ml, and that would turn out to be a 3 milligram.
Okay.
All right, if you're making 30 ml of juice, it would be 1.2. So, and 0.8 for 10 ml. But it's much easier to work in volume, because when you get to the stage where I was, when I was making like masses and masses of juice, it wasn't in how much in milliliters, it was in weight. Mm. And, you know, that's when you get into the math side of things. So if you're making 100 kilos of liquid, how many kilos of nicotine do you need to put in? And it's a much more accurate way of doing it,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because it's an exact science. Whereas when you're putting in 4 mil, you're probably going to be using a syringe or a pipette, and it's never going to be exact. Whereas when you're weighing it, it's exact, because you know if you've gone over by half a gram. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Which is a tiny amount. But it's always best to go onto the line, look for an e-cig nicotine calculator. There's millions of them. There's apps you can download on your phone, and they'll always tell you exactly what you need to do. So you input what you want, just like the steam engine when you're making coils, which we'll go into in another episode. So you input how much liquid you want to make, what type of ratio you're going to make it at, if it's going to be 70-30 or 30-70, and then you put in how much strength you want it to be at the end. It then calculates it all and gives you need X amount of this, X amount of that, and X amount of this.
Mm-hmm.
And if you follow them guidelines, you know, you've nailed it. It's never going to be an exact science, because you're never going to get exactly what it says, just due to the measuring tools that you'll be using.
Yeah.
You know, you'll be using beakers, and you're never going to get it exact, but as long as you get it to where you think, yeah, that looks like 80 mil, it's on the line for this, and it's on the line for that, then you can't really go wrong. The only thing you got to do is just double check your answers and make sure you know exactly what you're doing before you add it all together.
Yep. I mean, as Ian's saying there, you mentioned steam engine, and steam engine actually does have a e-liquid calculator, and it's excellent. And that would be what I'd recommend for an app or for a program, would be Steam Engine, and which will probably be in the show notes, I would imagine, Chris.
Absolutely. beyond a doubt.
In Steam Engine's the place to go.
I've used Steam Engine before. I'm sure I have. I think that's one of the first sites I looked at. So it must be highly recommended. Anyway, or at least highly rated in Google. So yeah,
it's pretty much ubiquitous. I think from the very beginning, I began looking into vaping. It's been around, and it answers a hell of a lot of questions, and it's ultra reliable.
Yeah. Excellent.
It's ultra reliable if you can understand how long coil legs are. And things like that. It really goes into minutiae.
Yes,
yeah,
about.
Don't worry about that. We'll cross that gap when we come to it, Chris.
Okay, thank you. So with nicotine, obviously, the main thing is be safe and measure things properly.
Yeah.
So, what would you say? What's the next part of that? Or is there more to talk about with nicotine, do you think?
I mean, another quick follow on with nicotine, especially, I mean, you know, we're all based in the European Union right now. Here in the UK, I can talk for definitely. Nicotine you can only buy in 10 milliliter containers of 20 milligram, I believe, Ian.
Yeah,
it's the same. That's the most definite.
Now, one of the things that people are tempted by and you hear people talk about is buying nicotine from China. You can totally buy nicotine from China. I really would strongly advise against that. They don't follow any of the same rules and regulations that we do here in the EU mm-hmm. or in America. And it's pretty much, you know, you're hitting and hoping at that point that you're definitely getting A, nicotine, and B, it's the concentration that it should be. It's not worth taking that risk.
The quality checks aren't in place. Mm-hmm. So, yes, you can buy it and it's cheap. But at the end of the day, so is licking a pavement. You can do that for free.
Yeah.
And I'd rather lick the pavement than use nicotine from China.
The other thing I'd advise against with nicotine, you'll commonly hear this if people going, well, it's a rat poison, isn't it? So you can buy nicotine-based rat poison. You totally can. Because it is commonly used as a vermin pesticide. It's not worth it, man. It's really, really not worth it because it's there to kill things. There aren't really any stringent checks, and it's not much cheaper than buying the 20 milligram, 10 mil bottles either.
And it's not that expensive.
It's not worth.
It's really not that expensive, you know, when you look online. So it's
No, it's cheap.
So
cheap as chips.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those things that, like, just use a trusted website, right? I mean, I wouldn't do anything else. I think you'd be nuts too with when you're dealing with chemicals, especially something as dangerous as that.
Yeah,
but I mean, like, you know, people are often tempted to save a couple of quid here and there,
mm-hmm.
and with this, it's honestly, I'd advise strongly against it. Buy it from a reputable source, as you say, and it'd just be safe because it really will bollocks you up. Mm-hmm. It really will. I mean, I've overindulged in nicotine
quite recently.
And it's really not pleasant. It's really not pleasant. And I'm a giant man, and it still messes me up, you know. And Ian's a big dude as well, and I've seen him pretty wrecked. So, you know, if you're a smaller chap it's not going to go well for you.
Yeah, I mean, one thing you can always take from this, from experience, is when you are working with nicotine and you're adding nicotine to your juices, the golden rule when you're doing this is when you see that there's some juice on your finger, you don't lick it off. you clean it off, even though you might think it's e-liquid. It's not. It's nicotine. It's 72 milligrams.
It's always nicotine.
And you know what? It's that sudden realization within about 3 seconds when your tongue starts to go numb, and you're like, "Oh God, that wasn't juice. That was nicotine. Oh shit!" And then you run to the tap and start drinking loads, and then you go to the toilet for the next hour. It's just not fun.
Palpitations and the sweats because it's a massive stimulant.
Yeah, it's a huge stimulant. I mean,
massive stimulant.
Yeah, I got the shakes. Like, literally, if you can imagine, Chris, having about 10 cans of Red Bull, okay? And the amount of caffeine going through your system is a very similar thing to the nicotine going through your system. You're just literally, you're on hyper alertness, hypersensitivity, and your heart just goes nuts.
Yeah.
And it's not a good thing. It's like a bad thing. It's like, you know, it's not something you should try at home just for shits and giggles. It's a nasty thing, and it's not like anything else that you could possibly do to your body to make your heart go faster. Trust me, it's just bad.
I'll try to avoid that one.
Good yeah. Call. Don't lick your fingers.
So, I know that you used to be able to get nicotine up to, I think in e-juice with, I think it was 21 milligrams. Like, but that's changed now, hasn't it? It's now 18. Is that right?
Well, it used to be that you could have anything you wanted. I had a customer who would want 36 milligram key lime pie.
Okay.
And that was in a heavy VG, mm-hmm. which, to be honest, that's in a sub-ohm sort of setup. And I mean, that is just nuts. I've had another guy about 3 years ago, asked me to make him a caramelicious up in 24 milligram 80 VG for his dripper, which, to be honest with you, I can just imagine what Adam's face is like right now with me saying 24 milligrams dripping.
It's a horrific idea.
It's just not clever, all right? Now, though, with all the laws, the maximum strength you can get in anything is 20 milligram.
Okay.
Purely because of the laws that have come into place, which, to be honest with you, it's not a bad thing. If you're on more than 20 milligram, then you need to be either reducing your nicotine and vaping more,
mm-hmm.
or you need to just literally, if the 20 milligram isn't doing it for you, then you just literally need to vape more. Because cigarettes, on average, about 10 milligrams, okay? Mm-hmm. But the way your body ingests, it's different, so that's how it works. But 20 milligram, if you're on 20 milligram of nicotine in any liquid, then you need to vape more rather than try and increase the strength, because it gets to the point where that nicotine gets too much.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, when you breathe something in that's noxious and it catches you back of your throat, mm-hmm. it gets to that stage where it's like... and you'll cough. And one of the things is with propylene glycol, I suffered when I first started vaping because of the ratio of propylene glycol in the liquids I was using. There was 70% PG, 30% mm-hmm. VG. And that was in like a starter kit. Now, after about a month or two, I was getting a really, really bad cough. My chest was quite heavy. Just inhaling the vapor was too mm-hmm. much. In fact, at the time, I couldn't actually vape because it was too strong. And it wasn't to do with the nicotine strength. It was to do with the volume of propylene glycol in the juice. Now, a lot of people get a similar reaction due to the propylene glycol. Mm-hmm. Now, as soon as I started like coughing up and I'm like, how am I coughing? I'm not smoking, I'm vaping. Why am I, coughing up? I did a lot of research and I found that people have like a bit of a reaction to propylene glycol. So all I did was change the mix. So it was 70% VG, mm-hmm. 30% PG, and it was an instant fix. So I never cough anymore. I don't get a heavy chest anymore. But it was just my body reacting to the propylene glycol. I really cannot do the mouth to lung with a heavy PG liquid
mm-hmm.
because of that PG reaction. I can do it, but if I was doing it on a daily, weekly basis, it wouldn't take long for me to sort of get that chest heave.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing you've just got to also be aware of with liquids is the best way to start is with a 50-50 percentage ratio mm-hmm. where it's 50% VG, 50% VG, and that way, you've got the best chances of success of it not affecting you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you find that you're getting a bit of a cough, just check what ratio you've got. Because if it's heavy PG, I would suggest you might be having a reaction to that PG. Because the PG does give you that throat hit. Okay? Yeah. Just to explain, Chris, if the PG gives more of a throat hit, the VG creates more vapor. Mm-hmm. Okay? both of which I think are 50-50 when it comes to flavour. Okay, a lot of people will disagree and say, oh, no, a high PG is much flavour, much more flavour than a heavy VG, but it's subjective, really, isn't it? What I think, what I like vaping is caramelicious. What Buck likes, Adam likes vaping is gash. All right, he does. We vapes gash all the time.
Yeah,
but yeah, honestly, it's just like so like sweet Cheerios, it's
glorious stuff, man.
Just glorious, absolutely gash.
Just along with the, you know, where we're talking about nicotine concentrations, if anyone who's listening is in America, none of those rules appear, what's the word?
Apply.
Or applicable. Apply. None of the, yeah, that's what I was trying. None of those rules are applicable. And the dual pod system, for example, which is a very common device in America, from what I understand, is available all the way up to 5% nicotine. Which we would say would be 50 milligrams, which is, to my eyes, an astronomical, ridiculously huge amount of nicotine. And obviously here that would be completely illegal, but in America it's available at Walmarts and 7-Elevens.
Right next to
the shotguns and the flags. But no, it's... crazy that that's allowed, but it's totally normal over there. I mean, again, a pod system is a very specific kind of thing, so it's not quite as crazy as it sounds, but it's still pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's that. I wouldn't even try it.
5%,
just 50% nicotine. It's just, well, it, like we said last week, 56% will kill you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you know, it's like, let's buy these rounds for my Kalashnikov. One of them's going to explode, but we don't know which one. Let's just fire them all. Fire them all. It'll be fine.
It's mad.
You know, it's not... 50 milligrams is a bit crazy, to be honest with you.
But I mean, like, you know, there's a lot of people, a lot of the American-based YouTubers and stuff who rave about it because you only need a quick little toot, a quick little snoof every hour or so, which is pretty right because it would take me an hour for my heart rate to climb back down.
Yes.
You know, for everything to be back. And I'd probably be impotent.
And your tongue to become alive again.
Oh, they do it in mango flavour. I was looking just to double check because I'm sure I'd read that. So you can get a mango and nicotine flavour vape. Wow. It's quite nice.
When I first started, I was having, I think it was 18 milligrams, and that was coming off a pack a day. Like a pack of cigarettes a day, 80 milligrams, and I was getting headaches after a few days. I did start off using patches, which didn't help. Like, but as soon as I dropped the nicotine, like, sort of just down to, I think it was 12, like, sort of the headaches went straight away. I'd forgotten about the patches by that point as well, but,
It's all about finding the sweet spot that works for you. And I mean, like, you know, what Ian was saying before, one of the things I often tell people is if you want to drop nicotine, increase the power.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about finding that happy balance for you, you know. Honestly, if I think of vaping 11, Chris, I'm nearly sick of my mouth. Even on a tiny little, you know, 12-watt mouth-to-lung setup, I'll still vape 3. I picked up a new mouth-to-lung tank last week, and I thought, oh, I'll stick a 6 milligram in and it'll be fine. And I was nearly ill. And I was telling Ian the next day, and he was giggling at me because... I'm so used to 3, 2, 1, 0. Going up to 6, it knocks me sick.
Yeah. It
knocks me sick.
I mean, the one thing I've noticed as well is because I'm in a vape shop all day, I'm vaping all day. Mm-hmm. Literally, there isn't any time when there isn't a mod in my hand. Okay. So because I'm vaping at 3 milligrams the majority of the time, by the time it gets to 6 or 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock,
I'm done.
I'm vaped out. You know, it's like when you go to Expo. Expo is a perfect example. You go to a vape expo and you're there from 10 o'clock till 5 o'clock. And during them 7 hours, you will vape your head off completely with so many different flavors. Majority of them will be 0 milligram as well. But just the volume of vapor that's been passing through your body, you've had enough.
Yeah.
Okay, there is a finite line when you've vaped out, you know? And that's when you've got to think about what nicotine ratio are you going to have. So when you're maybe just having a few snoofs a day when you're at work, then maybe have a strong nicotine, where if you're only going to vape for 5 minutes before you start your shift, and then at maybe 11 o'clock you're going to have 10 minutes, and then at 3 o'clock you're going to have 10 minutes, and so on and so on, then you might want to think about a little mouth-to-lung setup, mm-hmm. which has got maybe 12 milligram of nicotine in it. But then when you get home, get something that's got 3 milligram of nicotine in it, where you can vape a little bit more often without any restrictions with work.
Yeah.
And then you'll find that you'll get that balance. I mean, when I get home, if I've got a bottle of Caramelicious here, that's 0 milligram. And it's just that mouth-to-lung action that I'm looking for, and the hand-to-mouth habit. And that's when I put the zero in there. Mm-hmm. Because I've literally 3 milligram is enough for me due to the volume that I'm vaping on a daily basis.
Most people don't work in vape shops, though, so I think that's...
This is true.
It's one of those things where you explain it to people and they look at it like you're crazy, but I mean, I think today I've probably gone through 20, 30 mil of juice, you know, and not many people do that.
That's, I hope. I was going to ask.
And if they do, they should shop with us. They should come and buy all their juice from us.
That is, yes.
Yeah, we're more than willing to provide any amount.
And that's Castle Vape in Prada.
That's the one. The professionals in Prada.
Yes.
No amateurs.
No amateurs or would-be specialists. We are professionals. We have certificates that we made ourselves.
It's true. I'll provide you later.
I used crayons.
He did very well.
And I was going to use the plasticine, but I ate it.
These things happen.
So what else with e-liquid? What else do we need to talk about? What happened?
Flavors.
Ah, yes, flavors.
Flavors.
There's only three. There's literally only three flavors. There's three. There's cake. There's fruit. Oh, sorry, four. There's cake.
Yep.
There's fruit. There's mentholy kuluari stuff. And there's tobaccos. That's it.
And there's drinks.
They're just variations of fruit.
Oh, I suppose.
What about the sweets?
I mean, you could probably have about 12 different categories of juice, to be honest.
There's loads. There's millions.
But at the end of the day, it's either fruity, or it's desserty, or it's crazy. Okay? Where you've got something, like it's got about 15 different fruits in it, and a culotta, and a menthol hit with a touch of absinthe. You know, there's a million different variations out there on flavorings, and that's one of the best things about vaping is the flavors.
Yeah.
Because it's not about, you know, in any given day over the last 44 years of my life, has anyone ever came up to me and said, oh, what cigarettes are you smoking there? Mm. What flavor are them? It's never, ever happened, and it never will, you know? The only thing people have ever said to me is, oh, but it's a Marlboro, mate, is that all right? Or it's a menthol, and that's it. All right? It was either Marlboro, counterfeit, or menthol. You know, that was the only question you wanted to have answered. But nowadays, in this subculture that we live in this vape industry, it's all about the flavor. And when people start with a starter kit, 99% of the time, they want to have a menthol, or they want to have a tobacco. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're looking for. They want to replace that cigarette. And people go through this evolution, and it's beautiful to see. Some people skip a lot of steps, which I'm sure you will, Chris, now that you're talking to us. But most people go through this evolution of vaping where they start off with a simple starter kit with a tobacco or a menthol and a high nicotine. And after about a week or a month, there is a lot of people that are content just to have that.
Yeah.
And that's great. All right. I love the fact that people can just have a simple kit and a simple setup, and it gets them off the cigarettes. That's my mission with the shop, is getting people off cigarettes. Yeah. Okay. So if I've got a customer that comes in my shop and all he ever buys is a 4 pound bottle of tobacco in 18 milligram and a new coil for his starter kit once a week or once a fortnight, I love that, because they appreciate the fact that I'm not trying to upsell them everything that we can get into the shop. And, you know, they're not going to get pressured into buying anything. We're going to advise them what to get and what not to get. And just to put them on the straight and narrow so that, you know, you don't just walk into a vape shop and say, I want a vape, what's the best thing you've got? And spend £1,000 on all sorts of stuff that you have no clue what to do with.
Well, I mean, today, oddly, I had a beautiful example today of this, you know, where we're talking about setups. And a little old lady who comes in all the time, came in today, but she actually had a device with her. And she was vaping a Kalito 120 on top of a Wismec RX mod. And she was vaping on that at 16 watts with 80-20 juice. And, you know, this is a normal daily setup. And, you know, I know this is at beginners, so I'll point out just how wrong that entire setup is. Every single aspect of that setup was totally wrong for this lady. Totally wrong. And, you know, she's struggling. She's got constant leaks. She's not happy. The coils are burning out, you know, to her mind, incredibly quickly. It doesn't taste well, good. You know, she's unhappy. And it was some unscrupulous bastard had sold her a £90 setup when she would have been totally fine with a £10 one, or a £20 one, or a £30 one. And she walked away with a new tank today. And she is the happiest customer I have seen in months. Mm-hmm. She was nigh on in bloody tears, man. And it was because she had the right setup for what she needs.
Yeah.
She needs no nicotine for it to feel like a cigarette and for it to just work. And that's, you know, like Ian's saying, that's the whole point of this, is for people not to smoke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I probably cut that out because I just wanted to mention that to Ian more than ever.
No, I think it's a nice thing to be in. To be honest, I think it's you know, it's a perfect example of, like you were saying, of the main purpose of it, really, like, sort of is to get people off cigarettes and find something that gives them the same sort of satisfaction or more, even, that's going to keep them coming back and keep them off cigarettes in the long run, you know.
I mean, this lady never wanted to quit smoking. She's got she's got fibromyalgia, and she had to stop smoking.
Okay.
And you know, people have seen her coming and set her up with a setup that I would use or Ian would use. It's not even something I would really recommend for you at the minute, Chris. And you know, she's been struggling with this for ages. And I mean, you know, we both spoke to her, but we've never known what she's doing.
Yeah.
You know, and then just all of a sudden, you know, you give her another little tank, an Endura T20.
Perfect.
She's honestly, man, if you'd seen it today, it would have broke your heart. Because it was like, holy shit, this all makes sense now. This, you know, I understand. She walked out with a 0 milligram mint, you know, in an Endura T20, and she couldn't have been happier. All of a sudden, vaping makes sense to her. And that's the point of having the correct setup and the correct juice, which is obviously where we're going, is for it to make sense to you. For it to be the way that you quit smoking.
Yeah.
So the one sort of goal that I had when I was making juices was to find what's called an all-day vape. Mm-hmm. Something that you can just vape all day, every day, and not get sick of. Because that's the unicorn. It's the golden nugget. It's, you know, the elixir of life, basically. If you can find something that you're happy with and you can get along with on a daily basis, then vaping becomes a very, very cost-effective way of getting rid of cigarettes. You don't have to spend £50 a week on juice or £100 a month on mods and £7,000 a month on tanks. You just need to find that right setup. And then if you want to try a different flavor, then great, do that. Like Adam's testament, that every single tank and every single RDA that I own has got one flavor in it.
Yep.
And that's Caramelicious. It's everything that you pick up that belongs to me, it has Caramelicious in it. I'm not I don't dislike other juices. I've just, to me, I can pick that up at any time of the day, on any day of the week, and vape it and be happy. Whereas in the past, I've bought this and I've bought that and I've bought the other. And the hardest thing to do, in my opinion, is finding the right flavor for you. That's the hardest thing. Because when you first start, like I was saying, your starter kits, everyone starts on a tobacco and a menthol. It's not very often you'll get someone who wants just something fruity.
Yeah.
But it does happen, okay? But what I always recommend people to do is to get a tobacco and then a flute. A flute. Yes, you have to play a flute, and you have to play Adagio for strings in G minor.
Adagio for strings on a flute. And you must lead the rats from the village, and then we will reward you with a chain and a Merrill rosette. That's always how it works.
So, it's to pick up a fruit that will complement the tobacco. So the one thing I always recommend is a blueberry with a tobacco, because when you mix them two together, it's great.
Yeah.
Or a caramel tobacco for like a bit of a sweeter tobacco. And then you basically, you can then get off the cigarettes. And then if you're happy with that setup, then just keep going. But then if you want to get something bigger and you want to do bigger clouds and you want to have more flavor, then go back into a shop that knows what they're talking about. Don't just buy the thing they've got the most of to sell, and because they've got so many of them. Go and do some research. Ask them what devices they use.
Yeah.
What would they recommend? And the biggest trick is to look at what they're using. Because if they're working in a vape shop, 90% of the time they're vaping their head off all day. So they've already found their little unicorn setup. All right? And you're laughing. I mean, my unicorn setup is any given mod that'll give me 50 watts of power with a 0.4 or a 0.3 ohm coil with Caramelicious in it.
Yep.
That's it. That's me happy all day. I can use a single battery mod all day at 40 watts.
Yep.
And, you know, and Adam will be, let's just say, attacking the batteries because he's going through about 8 in a day because he's vaping at 120 watts, 0.2 ohms, and he's going through 50-60 mil of juice a day.
But the thing is, though, with the unicorn thing, it'll always be with one of the many of the same type of RDA one, which is a Kennedy. It'll always be a Kennedy, because I've found what works for me. The difference between me and Ian is I tend to experiment more with juices. Because I think I've got some sort of flavour ADD, to where I need something different every time. So for example, today I've mainly been vaping cotton candy with vanilla ice cream.
Nice.
I'm actually looking at a bottle of Tug Life leprechaun milk right now that I forgot I had, and it's sitting on top of my speakers, and I'm looking at it and salivating slightly, because that is my favourite juice, which is an American cereal with milk. And if you'd spoken to me 2 years ago about the idea of inhaling a cloud of vapor that tasted like milk, I would have laughed in your face and possibly punched you.
That's what I love about it.
You know, and I think like it's fascinating, Chris. I love it. The one of the most fun things I find on a daily basis is someone will come in and go, I want to start vaping. I want to quit smoking. And I'll go through the normal spiel with them, and I'll show them all their options, and I'll go, a fruit? You want me to breathe fruit? Are you off your tits, you fool? And they'll leave with a tobacco. They'll invariably leave with a tobacco, or as Ian says, a tobacco and a menthol. Because a grape, something so adventurous, are you mad? And then a couple of days later, they'll come in, they'll be like, you remember that grape that you mentioned, now? Could I perchance buy a little bottle? And then quite often, a guy who came in today, who I remember going through this with, came in today and left with a sour apple and raspberry. He also took a candy floss and ice cream on my recommendation. And I believe he nearly bought a rum tobacco as well. You know,
no way.
Yeah, he nearly bought it today. Someone nearly bought that shit today.
I'll be vaping that tomorrow. Because I'm vaping Manabush at the minute, and I'm also Van Gogh by Dutch. I'm Dutch vapors, Dutch Amsterdam.
Chris, you can get any amount of that. You want to go buy some tomorrow? It's glorious.
Yeah, you do. And get some Tom Pounce.
Tom Pushman. Go buy
Tom. I'm so spent out on my vape e-liquid stuff at the moment because made me last one a little bit crazy. And I think we spent about 150 quid on like flavours and shit.
Mint.
So we're just got, like, bottles downstairs. I mean, we've made a few different batches of different things. I think mixing the juice is one of my favourite bits. Coming up with names for the juice is probably my favourite bit.
It's phenomenal.
Apple and pear one, just basic apple and pear, pomicidal maniac.
Oh, yeah. Nice. I like it.
Nice, I like it. Yeah, I like that.
That's my fave. But...
That's trademark Castle Vape, I'd like to point out now. That's it. Unlucky.
But it's all good, man. It's all good. It's just so much fun.
So I was thinking Rumpelstiltskin's love flute there, but obviously yours is slightly catchier.
Hang on a second, I'm going to send you.
Oh, it's good that you're having fun. And, like 150 quid. I mean, again, I don't know how much cigarettes are in Holland at the moment, but 150 quid, man, that's like, you know, 2 weeks tabs.
It's going to last us absolutely ages.
If both of you are smoking.
It's going to last us
absolutely long. Yeah, it is.
So... And I've made a label for it. I'm going to send you. Sorry, guys who are listening. This is probably not really going to be the most thrilling. I hope you guys are on FaceTube. There you scan.
I think that would probably be the episode image, one would imagine. So everyone will have already seen.
I think you should have at least one of them. But anyway, yeah, it's really nice, and like you say, it's like sort of when you first start, you have an idea in your head of what flavor you're gonna go for. Like for me, my first one was a tobacco one, and I didn't stick with it with that. And then I came back to it recently when I started just a few weeks ago. I came back to it when I tasted my sister's one, which was a cherry flavored one that was like, what's that? You know, it was just like,
what is this magic?
Just changed the game for us. All of a sudden, it was like, I can totally do this. This is brilliant. Mm-hmm. And then I haven't even touched cherry since that, but there's so many other flavors that are so nice, and it seems the list never ends. Yeah. You know.
And at some point, dude, you'll probably end up going back to a tobacco. You know, it's crazy how it works. Mm-hmm.
The one thing that you also need to be aware of as well, just to put it out there, is when it comes to flavorings, if you get one that's really, really sweet, it's probably because it's got sweeteners in it.
It's going to rape your coils.
And it's going to murder your coils. Okay. We did a bit of an experiment with a Malaysian juice. Okay. And it was beautiful, lovely. Smelled nice, tasted nice, vaped exceptionally well. But then I think Adam changed the cotton and cleaned his coils 8 times that day.
In one day.
Wow.
In one day.
I went through maybe 15 mil of juice. It was savage. The sweeter the juice is insane, normally the more sweetener it's got in it. And like if you're paying for coils, if you're not using the rebuildable, like I commonly do, you're going to spend a lot of money to enjoy that juice. A lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, it's not so bad really for us, because 90% of the times we will be on a rebuildable dripping atomizer, so we can just change the cotton out instantly. But if you've got it in a tank and it's got coils that you have to buy, then it's going to cost you a fortune in coils. Because it will burn out because of the carbon buildup. It'll go black as the Ace of Spades. And that is an absolutely amazing... copy and paste that, because I'm nicking that, I'm telling you.
That is beautiful right there. The grin.
The homicidal maniac.
The sheer manic joy on that apple's face, man.
That is absolutely brilliant.
Glad you like it. That was done on a post-it note.
I'm so chuffed for that.
I had faff on with it on the computer, but yeah. Cool. That's
beautiful, Chris. Yeah. Honestly, you're right.
But the flavour's so nice as well. I need to send you a bottle so you can taste it. It's like sour apple kind of peary niceness. So
we need to have a flavour exchange, man. We need to post you loads of shit over.
I'll probably send this other thing that's the greatest thing I've ever tasted. Oh, Chris, what you done? You know, like, but it's been interesting. Like, no, just for the listeners, like, sort of, I emailed them earlier in the week because me and my lass made a batch of what could only be described as cat pee. It just it really did stink. And I took your advice. We put a bit more kind of, we basically diluted it a bit more, and then diluted it even a little bit more and stuck a different flavor in there to mix it up. And then all of a sudden we've got this flavor that's amazing again. So it was just by like reducing the flavor in it, like, really made a huge difference already. So that was a top tip.
It will. And I mean, like, the other thing to remember is that they're normally food flavorings, so they don't they don't respond in the way that you would expect. You're not actually mixing the food stuffs together.
Yeah.
It's the flavoring. So quite often you'll get a weird reaction.
Maybe that's a good direction we can go down, because the different flavors can take, essentially it can take longer or shorter times to sort of to get their best flavor and things like that, and also sort of how much of different flavors should you be using and things like that. Maybe that's a point we should talk about as well, because I don't think we've touched on
that. That's Richmond's wheelhouse to the nth, that one.
Oh, yes, it is, I think.
We might have touched on a little bit in the last podcast as well. Like, we talked about...
We were talking about speed.
Yeah.
I mean, the best advice I can give you is you can always add more, you know, but you've got to leave most e-liquids for around about a week just to let it, give it a chance to blend with all of the other flavors and all of the other ingredients. But my rule of thumb would be to start off at 10% flavoring. Now, this all depends on where you're getting the flavoring from and how strong it is. But the majority of the flavors that I use, one of them I wouldn't go past 8% with, and one of them I have to go all the way up to 20% with. So it's finding that happy medium where 10 to 15% would be a happy average for most liquids. But then again, I have an orange concentrate, and it's nuclear, literally nuclear. There's no more than 1% in anything I've made, and the orange is always the dominant one. It's always like, hello, I'm orange, and I am here to take over everything.
Yeah.
And it literally, it does. It's like, oh, okay. And all the other flavors just sit back and get dropped.
And with a citrus, especially if you add too much citrus, you go from something that's quite tasty and pleasant to toilet duck, and it happens.
Toilet duck and toothpaste.
It's unbelievable. Like, the amount of toilet duck that we vape on a weekly basis when we're trying out juices and stuff like that is astronomical. And you'll hear the shout of toilet duck.
It doesn't matter where you are in the shop. It's like, toilet duck. Yep. It's like, oh no, not another one. But it is a happy medium. Watermelon, the thing is,
watermelon is another one where if you put a millimeter too much in, it's fucked. You might as well just burn. Might as well burn the jug, to be honest, because it's gone forever.
I mean, there's a lot of flavorings out there where it's already made to an exact specification, where it's one flavoring which tastes like strawberry cheesecake. So with something like that, you're probably going to need more than if you were to get a biscuit flavor and a cream flavor and strawberry flavor and mix them all up together to make it strawberry cheesecake. Because when you're getting pre-made flavors, which are more than just one flavor in it, then it's never going to be super strong. It's always going to be quite placid and quite tame. So I'd always recommend, if you're getting something that isn't just apple or strawberry or peach, that if, you know, you experiment at 10 to 15%, but with your pre-made mixes where it's like a strawberry shortcake, then you're probably going to need around about 20% for them. Whereas if you're making up the strawberry shortcake yourself, you're probably going to put in 10% strawberry and 10% strawberry cheesecake, or the shortcake even. So you're always going to get a stronger flavor when it's a single and you're blending them together yourself. But then it's all trial and error. And the one thing I will recommend and advise, that when, if you do make your own liquids, you're going to waste a shit ton.
Gallons.
You're absolutely going to waste a shit ton. Gallons and gallons of juice are going to get disposed of, because once you get past that point of no return, that's it. There's nothing you can do to add more of this to it and add more of that to it. It's literally just cut your losses and start again. But, you know...
That's part of the fun.
That's part of the fun, you know? It's like, a lot of the times it's spent me a bottle of Jack Daniels and an idea, oh, let's make a new flavour. Let's put a bit of this and a bit of that, and why don't we add a bit of this, and let's get the absinthe out and add a bit of that. And then in the morning, I'm come down and I'm like, oh, what's this? I've made some juice. Oh my God, that's amazing. What's in it? And I have no idea.
Yeah, write everything down.
Write everything down, because it's so easy to forget how much you put into this, what flavour you use. I mean, I walked down into my lab one day and there was 15 different flavours open on the counter. And I'm like, and there was a litre of juice, and it was amazing. But there's no way I'm going to replicate it, because I don't know what's in it. I don't know if I use 3 flavours or 5 flavours or 15 or 20 flavours, or maybe even more, and I put them back on the shelf. But at the end of the day, if you don't write them down, be prepared to start kicking the desk and biting the table, because you've made an absolute elixir of juice that is liquid crack, and you can't reproduce it.
Yeah.
So writing things down is quite a good thing. Also, videoing what you're doing to make sure you knew what you were doing if you didn't write it down. It's also another way of
I've been doing Excel spreadsheet with formulas and everything just to work out the right quantities for, so I can actually kind of scale it, like every recipe, basically.
Save them and back them up.
One of my tips.
I use notepads. Yeah. And I've got about 20 or 30 notepads. And ever so often when I get that notepad out, there's loads of notes. I've got to do this today, got to do that today. And then there's like Berrylicious ingredients. And I'm like, oh, hello, you again. I haven't made you in a while. Let's try and do this again. And it's great.
Yeah,
I love it.
My tip with juice making would definitely be as well, because I think this is of vital importance. If you're into creams, if you're into milks, if you're into that kind of flavour, let it steep. You want... With a really basic like cream, you want to leave it for a month. With a lot of things, you want to leave it for longer, because there's nothing more depressing than making something or buying something and thinking, oh, it's all right, this it's fine, and it falls to the back of your vape cupboard and you find it 3.5 months later and it is the best thing you've ever vaped. And that happens with a good cream, like even strawberry milkshake, which is like the most basic of flavors. It's shit for 6 weeks, and then as soon as it's that 6 weeks mark, it starts getting good, and it just gets better and better and better and better. But you find that you've probably gone through 1.5 liters of it already, and you've wasted all that money and time.
How much time left? But I do want to. There was a couple of other things I wanted to ask here. I wanted to ask about sweetener, food coloring, and
don't bother with it.
Avoid it like the plague.
Which one?
Avoid it like the plague.
Both.
Both. Just avoid it. Avoid them both like the plague. You do not need them. Okay? If you're putting sweetener in your juice, then there's a problem with
your recipe. You're not selling it to anyone. If you're selling it to someone, then yeah. But if you're not selling
it... There's no need for it.
Because fuck, just make it so you
and,
enjoy it.
My girlfriend was talking about something that makes the taste smoother, and I'm not quite sure what that would be, but...
Right. I know exactly what you need to do. The only way you're going to make anything smoother is with a heavy VG. Yeah. All right? Because that is exactly what I was talking about with the PG and getting a reaction to the PG. If it's harsh, it's the PG. I can guarantee it. All right? I'd put money on it. So if you make a liquid up tonight, make it 50-50. 50% VG and 50% VG. Let her try it. Just do a simple one, like a strawberry or watermelon or whichever flavour she likes the best. But make it 50-50, because that's the harshness you get is usually 99.9% of the time from the VG, sorry, from the PG, or if your nicotine's off.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you ever get a peppery taste in any juice, It's usually because the nicotine's gone. Mm-hmm. It's gone off. All right. So nicotine should be clear. All right. If it starts going any type of dark, any darkness to it, smell it. Just smell it. If you smell it and you smell something, there's something wrong. Okay. If you smell it and you can't smell anything, it's fine.
Good times.
But a peppery taste in your liquid is usually the nicotine gone off, or a marzipan taste. When it's something like peach and it tastes like marzipan, that's the nicotine gone off as well. Mm-hmm. So it's possibly, if you want something smoother, then I'd suggest increasing the volume of VG instantly. Mm-hmm. And I think she'll also get an instant reaction to it being, oh my God, yes, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. So it's...
Oh, if it's a citrus flavour, that can sometimes catch the back of your throat. Just use a bit less.
So it's really, I mean, VG, PG, and flavourings are really all you need, the aromas, and that's it. As long as you get the right combination right, you don't need the additional sweetener. Yeah, definitely not food colouring, unless...
Yeah, don't need food colouring, unless you just want it to make it purple or pink, just for yourself. But even then, it's best to get this like a gel. Yeah. It's like a paste rather than anything else. And you get them in this, it's like a little paint pot. It's the best way I can describe it. And it's just food colouring, basic natural food colouring. And you just literally need to put, you know, like the cardboard stirrers that you get from every coffee shop, the wooden stirrers, you just dip it in, get the end of it to touch it, and then add it to your juice, and it will completely change the colour of it instantly. But the more you put in, the darker it's going to be. So the it's really is less is more. If you want to put flavouring in, like purples or reds, you literally need the tiniest of amounts. If you put like a teaspoon in, it's going to be black. Okay, so don't go down that avenue. It's not really worth it unless you've got like a, you know, you it's for a Halloween where you want to have green juice and it's a luminous green. Then do it for Halloween. Just make up a small bottle, tiniest of food flavouring in there. But to be honest with you, it's not
it doesn't
help.
Add anything to it, basically. And it's so therefore, why add it in the first place?
It doesn't. And also, I mean, you don't know how it's going to carbonise. Yeah. A lot of the food colourings, you know, they're not designed to be heated to 180, 210 degrees Celsius. Mm-hmm. And they'll carbonise on your coils.
And kill it.
They'll kill it. And also, you know, you're then inhaling something that's burned. You know, it's not pleasant. One of the reds, Red Astaire, which is a really common juice, that's normally dyed red, which has actually been banned by the TPD, I think. But there was a batch made by a company I won't mention, and they cheaped out on their red dye, and it basically turned to a gel whenever you put it on a hot coil. And I've seen some delightful pictures of it, delightful pictures, and people were inhaling that shit, man. It's not good.
Best to avoid it, then.
Yeah, just don't bother.
Should we do some picks of the week?
Yeah, of course. Should we go for a juice pick of the week?
Yeah.
Yes. Caramelicious by Castle Vape. It's a liquid crack. It probably is the best-selling liquid on the planet. It's just fucking...
They invented new awards for it, so I'm told.
There is the Caramelicious Award that I win every time.
Would like to,
just because
would like
it's that good.
This Caramelicious, where would one go to?
You'd probably, right now, because we haven't got the website fixed, go to Facebook and find Castle Vape Limited. You'll see a picture of the shop and me. Just message us directly. We can send it anywhere on the planet.
Wonderful. Okay.
To avoid nepotism, I'm not going to pick a Castle Vape juice. Although if I did, I would probably...
What?
I know. I'd probably pick...
Voodoo Child.
Voodoo Child. I'd pick Voodoo Child if it was, was going to be Castle Vape. However, it's not Castle Vape, so I'm going to go for Carnival by We Out Here Do, which is one of the Flawless brands. It's spectacular. It's a cotton candy and... candy floss, because I'm not American. It's a candy floss and vanilla ice cream, and it is superb. It's incredibly subtle, and you need to vape at above 80 watts, but it is glorious.
Excellent.
That would be mine.
I'm going to go for... I think the one that I've been using is pretty much my all-day vape at the moment. It's a one by a company called Pinky Vape. I don't know if you know them, but there's a flavor called Black Puss, and it's black currant. It's just really simple black currant flavor, but it
Black Puss.
It's lush. It's got they've got some nice named flavors. There's it's worth checking out. But the black puss, it's probably the one of the nicest fruity flavors I've tried so far because it's got quite a strong flavor. That's been my all day vape. So, yeah.
Excellent, man. I mean, you live in Holland though, dude. You need to check out Dutch. They make spectacular juices. Tompoosh, or
Van Gogh.
Honestly, like, you need them in your life. They are superb. I'll
check it out.
Absolutely superb. The only one I wouldn't recommend is the one that I don't understand why it exists, which is the hash flavored one.
It tastes like shit.
It's like fucking shit. And it's more expensive. It costs more money.
Yeah. It costs more money. It tastes like gash. And it's like, everyone was raving about it. And I'm like, why? It doesn't even taste like hash. For one, it doesn't get you high. So what's the point?
It smells like cat piss. If you want to walk around all day, every day, smelling like cat piss, then you can borrow my cat.
For all the motorbikers out there, we could always do a two-stroke petrol flavour, if you really want. That'd be pretty lovely, wouldn't it? Yeah. But no, it's like, it's not. Dutch,
man.
DVTCH. It's spelt with a V, not a U. Amsterdam, Van Gogh, or Tom Poons.
And they have some of the nicest reps you'll ever speak to, and they all sound a little bit like Goldmember. So it's awesome. They're absolutely lovely, and they're funny with it. But yeah, honestly, if there's any other Dutch listeners, try Dutch. It's glorious.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's wrap it up for tonight, and we'll come back next time, and I think we're going to talk a bit more about the actual hardware next time, right?
Yeah, mods. Awesome. Mods, I believe, next
mods,
time.
Mods, starter kits. Yeah. We'll do the lot.
Cool. All right, then. Well, thank you very much for tonight, and catch you guys next time.
Peace out, bros.
Arrivederci, Dasta Daniel, Hasta Mañana.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.